What is real? How do you define real?
You can't jump into cash. Cash is trash. What do? You get out.
Justin Redrick is best known as Bitcoin Vegan and a Bitcoin educator. He's been featured on Pomp's podcast, Brad Mills' podcast, and on CoinDesk. Justin was tired of running the rat race, the seemingly never-ending paycheck-to-paycheck cycle, working in retail merchandising. And that's when he decided to learn about Bitcoin back in 2016. In 2016, he also started his own business, Vegan on the Go, where he cooked and delivered vegan food. Bitcoin's best-kept secret, but not for long. Justin Redrick, welcome to the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's really great to connect with you. I think it's taken about a month and a half for us to put together. You know, we connected, I think, first through Clubhouse via Twitter DMs. But, you know, and I've gotten to learn a little bit about you, and it's really inspiring stuff, man. I really just want to dig into your story and all things Bitcoin, the things you're into, what you're up to now. But I'd love to take it back to the beginning. And, you know, if you could tell us a little bit about life before Bitcoin and what that was like.
I mean, so first of all, thank you for having me on, Cedric. And anybody that's on here, listen to the Bitcoin Matrix. If Neo is out there, just keep coming. We got the orange pill for you. But if really though, send me, if you're on Instagram, you can send it to a Bitcoin Vegan or Twitter at Bitcoin _vegan. And just send me a word called Bitcoin Matrix, and I'm going to send you a free chapter of my book. It's going to be the Bitcoin chapter as well. So about the story before. Yeah, there we go. About the story before Bitcoin. Let's see. So the story kind of starts out in 2006, 2007. That was the same time. That was the year me and my mother, we lost our home that year due to foreclosure, housing market crash. You know, so I'm all used to crashes, right? So any price action Bitcoin crash I see, it doesn't really scare me that much. But moving forward from there, that same year I witnessed one of my friends get killed at a high school party. Prayerfully, I still went to college for 2 years, dropped out of college, did a lot of partying, but I realized I was in a real bad money situation. One of my professors said that you guys won't have jobs for 5 years after you graduate. And I immediately started thinking, well, this might be a complete waste of time. Probably smoked too much weed, did too much partying, who knows, but you do crazy things at 19. So then I had gone home, ended up trying to find everything I could do for money. And with that mentality and attitude led me to go to prison for 3 years. And it was in prison where I really learned how to learn. I learned that learning was my gift. And I learned that, I remember saying to myself that, hey, you know, I'm going to make $1 billion or more no matter where I come from. So interesting part about that story, I never really told this until now and on a podcast. It was like in 2012, I remember when I read about NASA ending the space program. And I was reading the paper, USA Today money section, this random lawyer, he had it. I used to just grab it from him. I started reading about Tesla and I tried to read about stocks. So I remember writing a letter home to my mom, said, hey, I think you should buy this. I don't know how to do this, but I think you should buy it. That was in 2012. So she didn't buy it. So then I left. When I was released from prison in 2014, I was doing a lot of like retail merchandising. I started look into what is really out there in the world. I didn't see much. So I just kept doing what I wanted. I kept doing what I knew would work. And then around 2015, my girlfriend at that time had gotten pregnant and something just snapped in me to start looking at life in a long-term view. I changed my diet to a vegan diet. And then I started thinking like, what's going on out there in the world that can really change my life? And then out of nowhere, I think my granddaddy got scammed to buy a miner, but at least his head was in the right direction at 80 something years old. That made me, you know, kind of piqued my interest. And then my man, Isaiah Jackson, I remember meeting up with him one day at a gas station unexpectedly. He said, follow me on Instagram. His name was Bitcoin Zay then. And, when I was on there, I started looking at, you know, Bitcoin. I said, man, what is this? And then that's when everything started happening. Isaiah started teaching me about Bitcoin. And then I started, you know, delving out into the online community. Met a guy by the name of D. Miller L, who's real good on Bitcoin, too. And I just started learning about it, you know, the basics, the principles, what it is. I studied on Bitcoin every day in 2016. July 9th is when I bought my first Bitcoin. It was $626, around that price. And then I thought to myself, like, man, this could really be the game changer I've been looking for. My mama didn't buy Tesla. My granddaddy didn't hold Enterprise when it first came out. So I realized, like, this could be your calling for your family, you know what I mean? So, and also looked at, you know, just how new it was. I was stuck sometimes coming home from prison. You looking like, man, how is everybody getting this massive amount of money through tech? And I was like, damn, you know, I wish I could have taken tech serious in 2004 or taking anything about the internet serious. But then, you know, Bitcoin gave me that second chance to do it. So I operated from that lens. And when it had its first price run of $20,000, that was some of the most money I had in my life. And I just decided, like, you know, I'm going to take this thing full time. So I continuously learned it from, you know, being in the space and learning from people. And now I teach other people through my online course, through books, through counseling or coaching. I've done a lot of different things up until now, but it's finally time for it to be 100% Bitcoin focused.
Yeah. I'm kind of really curious about when you came or even you released out of prison, what opportunities were like, what your plans were like, and, you know, what kind of lessons learned there that you kind
of... So the lessons, one of the lessons I learned the most was never make moves out of desperation. It can always be worse, so it can always get better. Like, you know, when you sit in prison for 3 years and you realize, you know, maybe a 15-minute action costs you 3 years of your life, you start looking at time differently. You start looking at what you do in a small amount of time and how that compounds over time. That was one of the lessons. One of the lessons was, like, you know, it can't get any... The only way it gets worse than this is if you stop breathing. So it can't get worse than this. Freedom was the most important thing to me. And obtaining that freedom was what I wanted, and how to be successful was another thing of what I wanted as well. You asked, what was your other question? It was a good one. I don't know why I went to that one first.
Lessons learned in prison, what your plans were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Plans. So I didn't have, everyone around me were, you know, wanting to do things that people were used to felons doing. Driving trucks, becoming a barber, you know, starting, like, nothing is wrong with this stuff. I don't want anybody to hear this. I don't want you to think anything is wrong with that. But I knew that wasn't for me. I wanted something to test me. Like, I realized how intelligent I was. And I said to somebody, like, you know, if I could go to Harvard, I would. But I'm going to do something that's groundbreaking. So when the mentality I had to come home from prison was find out what is working. You know, what's the next biggest thing? How early? I don't even know how I formed this mindset of an early adopter. I didn't know this is what was happening. But it was like, you know, find something that's working, that's legit, that you can get into, that you could just be that quote unquote lucky guy and, you know, and just ride with that. Like, I didn't have a plan. My plan was to only find a winning formula and ride it out until the day I died. Okay. So that was my only plan.
What about, like, learning about or thinking through, like, barriers to entry in terms of obstacles to get into what, you know, I think most things in the world are debt-based investments or opportunities.
So, somewhere around there, like, I stopped, and that's another thing I learned, Cedric, I stopped caring about obstacles. Like, it was just either I'm going to get it or I'm not, or I am. Like, I was looking at people, like, and I like these people, like, you know, the Floyd Mayweathers, the Tyler Perrys, even Tom Brady. Like, all these folks went through some type of unreal adversity to get unreal results. So I just felt like that was my calling. As far as, like, debt-based opportunities, if you're talking about investments, I didn't really think I was trying to get into some investments, but I felt like it was already a bit too late. I felt like getting into marijuana was late, not because of the price, but because of the hype. Real estate, of course, is already saturated to me at that time for what I saw. I mean, I knew people were doing well at it, but I didn't know enough about it. So it seemed like everything was just already going on, and I didn't want to be a part of the crowd. You know, I didn't want to be a part of the crowd, and I knew that something was going on in the world that if you're just there, you can actually benefit from greatly. And if you learn about it, you can definitely take yourself to another level, because there's some people who bought Bitcoin in 2016 and did nothing else. They can't tell you what a private key is. They don't really know anything outside of Coinbase. You know, so I knew that having knowledge and being able to share that knowledge was going to be more valuable than just being able to buy the coin whenever you want it.
Right. Well, let's turn a little bit more to Bitcoin. When you got into Bitcoin, and I don't like to use the word for got into Bitcoin, but when you became aware of Bitcoin, and at the time, like, I think you were doing, looking at doing more entrepreneurial things. I think you started your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what you learned running your own business? And
okay.
That intersection with Bitcoin and how you were thinking things about that?
So, like I said, when I had transitioned to vegan, somebody said, man, you need to just try to sell your vegan food, because I was going between a job. I knew I wasn't going to keep the job. I wasn't really tripping on it, but I just knew, like, all right, it's time to really step into something entrepreneurial. So the first thing I did was just, I had a friend who had food stamps. I would buy food stamps for her and then buy food, cook it at home, and then deliver it and sell it to people.
Right.
And that's what I was doing. I'm really 100% sure I didn't make any profit when I look at everything. But what I learned was, first of all, that running a food business is probably one of the hardest businesses in the world. So tip my hat off to any restaurant owners or food truck people. But I learned the importance of time management. I learned the importance of, and when I mean time management, not using all of your energy for money.
Mm.
You know, it got kind of real. And I learned about, like, you know, you can't outwork debt. You know, like, if you don't have anything working for you, you're going to always fall smack on your face. And so when I heard about Bitcoin from Zay, the first thing I asked him, I said, can I use this as payment for my food? He said, yeah. So Isaiah Jackson was one of the first people to buy my food for Bitcoin. And last time I checked, those burritos were worth like $1,200. So, you know, it made sense. But I started with my introduction to Bitcoin on that level was how now that even now that I'm saying it out loud, I never really thought about it. My whole thing was how to integrate it into a business, you know, in the most simplest form as possible. And it was kind of easy for me to do it because I had gone to prison, you know, and in prison, we had our own little money system with postage stamps. So that was easy for me to grasp the concept of decentralization when Zay told me about it, because, you know, we kept the price of the stamps a certain price number on the yard at 30 to 35 cents. No matter if the price had gone up in the free world, but that's how you could always keep business going, was by stamps. So operating with a decentralized currency like Bitcoin, and I knew it was 100% decentralized. Nobody could take it from you. It was so easy to go with it. That's why when people ask me about my conviction about it, that's it. You know, because I've seen a group of human beings operate off of a decentralized currency who really probably don't have much financial education. So they don't make it difficult. You know what I mean? If it works, it works, and we go. Like, it can really go like that. But I think we on the outside and the smartest people in the world in the room, we make it more difficult than it actually is.
What did, when you were encountering Bitcoin and thinking through what it is, what kind of conclusions or initial reactions did you have around, like, what it could be for people beyond decentralization, but people from either lesser means or less opportunities or have more obstacles in their lives?
Oh, man, I already knew it was like with Bitcoin. Like I said, when Bitcoin going to $20,000, you know, I was just like, wow, like $20,000, you know, that was a big Bitcoin price. The thing was, of course, it could be like majorly beneficial, but a lot of times for people in those adverse situations, it was hard for them to grasp the mental concept that this type of money, this type of freedom actually exists. And it's like some people don't believe that they are, what's the word? They are worthy of something like that, like subconsciously. They will never say it out loud, but you can see it in their actions. Some people don't believe they are. So it was in my eyes a time for people to, and it's so crazy because when I think about it, it's like, wow, this was 5 years ago. And sometimes you might see the same activity now. But for the people that I always felt who were willing to stick it through, you know, because I entered Bitcoin 2016. And after that, we were in a 3-year bear market. You know, so I'm over here like, oh, this is great. And people are like, it's not doing nothing. You know, so that was an eye-opener to me that it's like you've been going through some adverse situations majority of your whole entire life. And that does two things. That makes you believe in things that's not true. And you also create bad habits around money. So when you get something like Bitcoin, you still think, oh, well, it's just something I could spend. But I realized that the real power necessarily was in Bitcoin, but it first started in the thought and the patterns of someone who needed to understand like how to really use money and Bitcoin and their habits around it to get to where they want to go. Because that's, in my eyes, that's like the most important thing. It's your habits. And when you have, you know, an asset doing 200% per year, you know, for me, it didn't matter. Sometimes I would work a job, get paid $400 for 2 weeks. I'm like, all right, well, let's put $100 in Bitcoin, you know? So that was the goal. Like, cause I realized that Bitcoin could appreciate in USD faster than I could, but it could also stay valuable at the very bottom. So I always saw it as a layup.
Right. What other kind of habits do you think it's changed either for you or can change for people?
So one of the habits it did, Bitcoin, being in the Bitcoin space with people, you realize, I mean, it's almost like you have to find something to get supremely smart at. You want to get good at it. You want to be able to get good. It makes you become smarter on subjects. Like, for instance, I didn't know anything about too much of the financial system, but now I could run it off to you at the back of the hand, you know, or tech. You know, I built a node with no coding experience using probably one of the hardest languages there through Linux, but now it's completed. So it shows you, number one, you can do anything you put your mind to. And then it teaches you like, all right, so if I'm always taking my Bitcoin out when I need money, that means I'm doing something wrong on the front end. I don't really know how to budget. I don't really have my finances in order. So you start picking up those type of habits because you want to keep Bitcoin. Like if your mindset is set on hodling, how the hell do I hodl better? Mm. Like that's a question. How do I hodl better? You hodl better by, you know, really being honest. Like, hey, I need to get some financial education. And so what I would do, because I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, I think it's one of the top three banking cities in the country. So I would go downtown, network with people who were in finance and just learn from them, you know, to hear what they're talking about. I got denied life insurance 3 times. And one time my life insurance agent, he said, man, you're going to be all right. I'm thinking like, I think so. He said, why is that? I said, because if this is just supposed to appreciate, because that's all like really people tell me whatever they want about investing, but it all starts with appreciation. Like you do not hold assets that go down. You can say whatever you want. Oh, I want to do it for generational wealth. Well, if this asset wasn't appreciated, you wouldn't pass it down. Oh, well, you know, I want to do it for tax benefits. Yeah, but if you weren't making money off of this, you would not want it. You know, say, so I started realizing like, yo, this is all about appreciation. And in my mind, like you have this in Bitcoin. So I'm thinking like, well, hell, I could just put this money in Bitcoin and pass the keys down. I mean, that's how simple I started seeing life. So you have that, but then you also look at, you know, how can I take on the world? You know what I mean? Like, you want to be able to change people's lives. You want to be able to, you know, meet different people. Like, that's another thing. Bitcoin opens you up to so many people. Like, during the pandemic, I met so many people that lived outside of America. You know what I mean? And then you reach a level to where you start thinking, how about I just network in the Bitcoin network? It doesn't matter who they are. You could be Michael Saylor. You could be you. It could be anybody. But the mindset of an individual to be in Bitcoin now, even at 2021, I mean, even at 2016, 2013, 2009, you're a different level of a human being. Like, you see things differently. So all of these people are pretty much, top 1% people in something now. You know, so why not deal with network and deal with these type of people? So you just start really learning that everything you did before Bitcoin can get filtered out, sharpened up, and it brings you to this space. And now, you know, you're amongst a different crowd of people, but you get to be in one of the best spaces in the world of all time, really. That's some of the things I learned dealing with Bitcoin.
Yeah. Now, kind of along those lines, do you think as Bitcoin is like empowering? And I'm talking about anyone who, like, when they start stacking a few sats and then recognizes what it is it empowering?
Yeah. What's the most empowering thing is, like, you know, guys who I've grown up with and hang around, we never once talked finances. Even when I got in Bitcoin in 2016, you know, people just shrug it off. Oh, well, you know, whatever. I got to go to work, or I got my retirement. What the hell are you talking about? Like, but now, even as terrible as it sounds, when people say, hey, man, I bought Doge, you look at them like, you did what? But these are conversations I have now. So it just happened to me the other day, because I would get so ticked off. Like, yo, I've been telling y'all about Bitcoin how long? You did XYZ, or you did XRP. You know what I mean? But now it's like, well, hell, they're buying. These conversations would have never happened, not even in 2019. So something good is happening. You know, you're failing forward. You know, at first you were wasting your time on things, weed, liquor, girls, wrong activities. Now your money is shifting. It did go to Doge. You might have gone to some alts, but it's shifting. Right. And once you go through that shift, you go through that learning experience. And one of my friends said, man, I remember that time you made me buy Bitcoin in 2017. I think about like $100. So that probably got him more than, might have got him 10 million sats, maybe, probably not. But so he looking at it now like, man, wow, whoa. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's good. And yeah, man, I got to go get some more. So it does something to you to realize, yeah, you possibly have the opportunity to have the most money. You will have the opportunity to have the most money you ever had in your life. And I remember reading this in his book. And that's something else Bitcoin made me do. Read. I read a lot of books on finance. I remember I read a book by Mike Michalowicz, Profit First. He said, you want to fall in love with saving better than you do spending. And he will always talk about the very first time you get paid, you pay yourself. And people would think, oh, I go buy me some new clothes. I go buy it. Like, no, you pay yourself in the future. You know what I mean? Because in the current society, people are used to paying themselves in the future with debt. Oh, well, you know, I'm gonna put this on layaway. Or I'm just going to use my credit card. The worst feeling in the world to me is to leave out the store with something and have to remember I have to pay some shit back. Like, so those are the types of things that empower me to realize I'm paying myself in the future with ownership and with appreciation and some sound money.
Right. How does Bitcoin show its appreciation?
Hey, it doesn't change. Consistency. It doesn't, it's consistent, you know, from even with the tweets you put out. I don't know where you get these thought provoking tweets from. They be short and powerful. But I'm like, yo, that's amazing. But I mean, it's the most, you said something, it's the most valuable asset that's always on sale or something like that. But, you know, there is no real price you can put towards Bitcoin. When people really ask the question, like, it's infinity. Why is that? I said, well, if Bitcoin hit $1 million, I bet you'll still find a way to buy it. it doesn't matter if you just use it as a savings account, you'll still find a way to buy Bitcoin. And, you know, so, and another reason Bitcoin shows its appreciation through 2017, I was just on a podcast. They said, man, where do you get your conviction from? I said, well, in 2017, Bitcoin pulled off some Floyd Mayweather shit. Every single opposition from Bitcoin Unlimited, Fork Wars, major FUD, ICOs, all the exchanges getting shut down, China banning Bitcoin. All of this stuff happened in 1 year and Bitcoin went nowhere. Like, it didn't shake. You know what I mean? The price went down, but like my friend Miller Elsa, he said, I'm looking at my node and the blockchain. I'm like, nothing is wrong. Keep it moving. It's just price action, but Bitcoin itself works. You know, so let's look at it like this. If Bitcoin does nothing anymore, it doesn't go up in price, it doesn't go down in price. What do we have now? We have stable money. We have stable money that's outside of government control. So even with the price not going nowhere, Bitcoin would still be the most valuable asset on the planet.
Yeah. I'd love to hear your philosophy on no excuses. And I think you were touching on a little bit with some of the, you know, the people that you look up to, but mm-hmm. you know, kind of what is your philosophy there?
So it got extra real. The day I really realized I was gonna stop making excuses was when I came home from prison. Because they don't do no good. Nobody really cares about them. Nobody who's ever made something of themselves give a damn. All of the people that care about excuses are the highly mediocre people. You know, they get regular results. If you want different results, you got to realize that your excuses hurt you. Because think about it like this. What if you're an aspiring entrepreneur and, you know, somebody approaches you with an opportunity to grow your business, but you don't know it. But you're sitting there telling them everything that's going wrong, what you can't do, why you can't do it. They'll move on. Oh, they're not really serious. You know, they have limitations. They believe in limitations. Nobody wants to deal with people who believe in limitations. You know, so that was from that regard. I just realized, like, all the best people, they just keep going. You know, there's no rule that says you have to stop. And it got real for me in Bitcoin when I remember I decided the last time in my life I was going to stop pulling my money out of Bitcoin to pay for situations that I should have handled better. So, I mean, I went like weeks and I'm looking at the price of Bitcoin, the Bitcoin I have, and I'm sitting on like little to no money. But I knew I had to start breaking that cycle somehow. And the first time I started doing it, I had like, you know, pay maybe a few $1,000 in Bitcoin. And I needed to actually like pay for something. And I felt like taking Bitcoin out for that would have been an excuse. So I just tried to go. I went out and, you know, tried to increase my business or increase my reach to make more money. You know, so this constant evolution of entrepreneurship is no excuse. Because you'll just end up like everybody else. And so when I hear people say, man, I can't afford Bitcoin, I can't do this. The word I hear the most is can't. And a good coach, a good author by the name of Jim Quick said, when you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. So I stopped fighting. I didn't want to continuously fight for them, you know, and that really changed over everything.
Yeah. Kind of like fighting for your life. Or what? How do you think about like getting to the next level? Almost like leveling up, where life is a video game.
Well, when you look at life like a video game, you always got a task. You know, every video game I play, you might get, every level you go to, there's a different boss. Every level you go to, the destination, I mean, the process to the destination is tough. You know, you might start a new level and get beat 5 seconds of being in there. But what's remarkable is video games might have caused the culture to be more resilient. You know, especially in video games where you have to like go on a mission or a journey. Because you don't really know what the next option is going to look like. Then you got to start all the way over. And as you start over, you know, things happen in your brain to get you to get better. So that's one thing. And just when you go to the next level, I leave space in my plan. Like I leave space for things to go wrong. leave space for development. You know, you got to know that you might have times where nothing goes your way for months. So what are you focusing on to get small victories? You might be, you know, increasing your personal and professional development. You might, you know, start working out more. You know, you gotta get your mind out of the weeds. Like, there really is no problem. You know, it's just about how are you going to find a solution? Like, I think I put this the other day somewhere. You got to, it's like in boxing. If you're getting your ass kicked and still swinging, something's liable to change. Or if you're in business and, you know, you might not be getting any sales or something, keep shooting at clients. Like, you think it's going to change if you stop going at clients? You know, Kobe Bryant said, I'd rather go 0 for 30 instead of 0 for 9. I mean, so why stop halfway? If it's going wrong, just keep going. Just go faster. Like, it's all about speed. I read a book that said money is about speed and turning your success around after failure is all about speed. How quickly can you go on to the next one? It's not a problem. Like, I've seen a guy in prison. He had like 5 life sentences. He said, I'm going to make money. I'm going to hustle and I'm going to hire me an attorney and I'm going to get out of prison. He actually did it. So when I saw that, I was like, yeah, what the hell is an excuse? That's what really made me erase excuses. That's what really made me understand what that next level looked like. The next level is just you keep going. And even if, you know, you're at that level financially you want to be, oh, I'm good. People who say I'm good, I feel like they just don't want to go to the next level of the video game. I'm good, Ryan. I think I'm okay. What the hell does that mean? What the hell do you mean you think you're okay? Like, that doesn't really register well to me. So it's never really about settling. Like, I don't never want to think I'm okay. I don't want to think I'm good. If I get too old, I think one of the greatest journeys in my life would be when I reach that age of elderly, that I get stuck in my ways and I don't get stuck. Like, I want to stay going forward. And I think that's one of the things about the next level. Let's look at it like this. Most people don't really know. A lot of people might not really see how powerful Bitcoin can be, especially where you have this age of life coming as far as exponential technology, right? You have AI, VI, VR, XR, 3D printing, Internet of Things. That thing is going to need a money. You know what I mean? Like, Elon can play these games all he wants to, but Rivian might start accepting Bitcoin. Then what? You know what I mean? Like, it's only a matter of time. And even with the whole thing with that, I see it just like PayPal. He'll go today. He'll be back tomorrow. And I'll be able to get the car for cheaper sats. Like, this is not going to make me stop wanting a Cybertruck. It's just going to stop making it look so attractive to spend Satoshis on it. Yeah. So it might work out in your favor, man. But I never try to see any problems with leveling up. I expect something to happen, you know, because I don't know everything. You got to understand, you don't know everything. And so it's good, you know, and the winning season might not last long. Like, look at Golden State Warriors. They went 50 years of losing. They only got 5. They went to the championship 5 times. They got 3 rings. They did a lot of losing, though. You know what I mean? So you got to think about it. If you think of it in terms like that, the winning season only lasts for so long, so you just got to stay diligent towards it and celebrate the small wins. Celebrate the small wins. That'll definitely get you there.
What is your and a tip off or allude to your book? What is it to be the orca or like think like an orca? What lessons have you learned from how orcas act and behave in the wild?
So, man, I've always been a National Geographic guy. I'm a vegan, and this might mess people up, but I like watching animals eat animals. I like watching animals hunt. Well, you're not supposed to like that. No, I don't like eating the meat, but I don't mind animals eat each other. But it comes down to strategy, man. One day I was just on YouTube and I hear, you know, orca, the killer whale, is the apex predator of the sea. I'm thinking, like, I know what apex means. How the hell did he become, or the day that species become the apex predator? And I just started doing research on them. Like, they work well together in groups. So I I equated that to, like, you know, either you're working on a project with a team or you're like using your network. They have different levels of communication. So you have to value how you communicate to people. Like someone said, think with the end user in mind, you know, even though they have their own little dialects, they have supreme hunting skills. I saw a video one time, four of them stood straight up in the water and made a wave for a seal to come off a glacier and ate them. So they're intelligent thinkers. They're not compared to the shark. Sharks don't do nothing but go around and eat, you know, or they're popular, but they're not the best. So when it came to the orca, it was about like what type of mentality it took for me to think outside the box, but again, around other people who are either A, they're on their way to being top in their industry, or they're already there. But what do these people who are the top 1% of the 1% of their industry think like? Have I gotten around all those people? No, but I've studied how their life shapes up or patterns to how they got there. You know what I mean? And when it came down to it, like, orcas were the mentality of the orca, like I wrote in the book, is all about being willing to operate on a very high level at all times, and not just being what's popular, but being what's the authority. You know, so you have experts and you have the authority. You know, who are you going to listen to, and what level are you looking to play on? Because, you know, masses amount of people, they might look at business all the same way. And I had gone to this business day conference by a guy by the name of JT Fox. And I just looked at how he looked at business. And I was like, damn, a lot of people don't look at things like that. I mean, on that level. And that's why I realized, like, I listened to this guy by the name of Michael Porter. A friend of mine, Tomer Strohlite, on Twitter, who's a Bitcoiner, he said he fathered business strategy. And he said, like, you know, there's never one way to compete. Right. So I started thinking, like, well, damn, if everybody's doing the same thing and they're getting the same results, it makes sense. But if you're not doing what everyone else is doing, and it's on a level that, you know, people who think with this mentality can see, or this is how they talk. That's how you know you're on that level. So it's really about wanting to be the best of the best, like not just the best in your industry, but the best in the world. Like that's how I saw myself coming home from prison. I said, whatever I have to do, I have to be legendary. I have to be the best in the world at it. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to get by. That's where I always looked at, even like, I could look at somebody not in my field and think, all right, so why is he so good? Like, look at Tom Brady. He always prepares. He's always calm. He's won 6 Super Bowls in the last 2 minutes of the game. Right? So what type of thinking does that take? Like, you got to be real level. Like, or look at someone like Floyd Mayweather. You went 50-0. And when I watch him, he does the same thing over and over, but no one can crack the code. Someone like Tyler Perry used to sleep on a park bench. Now you're a billionaire. And I'm not going to say it didn't take time, but you know when you're on the path. Like, when everything you've been thinking about starts really taking place, it might take years. It's the thing, like, people talk all this manifestation shit. They say all this stuff, but they'll never give people the real deal. Like, this could take years. The things you do day by day, those things could take years to start seeing progress on. And within those years, you probably won't have confidence every day. But look at what all the greats do. No great person had this rosy-ass story. You know, so what did they believe in? They believed in themselves. They kept studying. They kept wanting to be better. Even if they were failing, people saw them taking action. They said, you know what? We can help you. Really? Yeah. Then you have to be coachable. If you're not coachable, you're not going to go nowhere. You know, so impatient. Like, you might implement something new in your business. Yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah, it's going to be great. This shit might take 4 or 5 months to a year to start really panning out. But that's the cost. That's the cost of, you know, doing things correct in time. So you want to build. You know, I just started looking at those types of things. Like I stopped looking at cheap thrills. I stopped looking at trying to get it immediately. And like, yo, you say this process might take 3 months. Let's go 3 months then. For these next 3 months, I know something might suffer. Then for the following months, I might see, you know, little bumps here and there, but it's all about staying the course, man. People don't stay the course long enough to see it through. Like Elon Musk, Peter Damonatis, even Bezos, they might have been, they've been working at this their entire life, really. When you work at something your entire life, once you're committed, that's the thing, they were committed. It's all about being committed. Even when I was trying to do mindset or health coaching, I had to be committed to hearing no. I had to be committed. Like, you got to be committed. If you're not committed, you don't really belong here. You don't belong in Bitcoin. You don't belong in nothing you do. If you're not committed at the very roughest moment, like, if I wasn't committed not to continuously use Bitcoin in a jam, I'd still be in a damn jam now with stuff. About being committed, man. You can't make it nowhere with no commitment. And people have a false identity of it. Oh, well, it didn't go right. It's only been 6 months. What the fuck? Like, stop playing, man. That's not how life works. And what's funny is people will hear me. They know me. People who know me my whole life, Cedric, they still ask me, how did you do all this overnight? It wasn't. Y'all just didn't pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, man. Thinking on that level and, you know, getting like real deep, like you mentioned on Pomp Show that, you know, people that came over here as slaves came here as an asset and they're still paying capital gains tax on their earnings. Can you speak to maybe how much wealth there is in Black America and the opportunity at hand with Bitcoin here?
Probably compared to what I don't really remember the numbers, but I saw in the news that it said that the average white Americans have like on average, $170,000 of wealth. Black people with 17 grand. And it's like, wow. So somebody's lying within my community about getting money, but that's a different conversation. So, I mean, and I've had this conversation in Black Bitcoin Billionaires. Yeah, it's oppressive stuff that happens, you know, but I got to the point where I got tired of believing in barriers, you know? So as a whole, with Bitcoin, it changed my attitude. You know, think about it like this, a guy like myself bought Bitcoin before Elon Musk did. That's a confidence booster to me. So if anything, you should boost your confidence. But when it comes as far as wealth, like I said, Bitcoin does help, but it doesn't mean that's going to be the thing. You know, a lot of times people ask me, what do you think Black America should do for wealth? Like, well, y'all not really attacking the issue correctly. Excuse me. The issue is this, spending habits. What made Bitcoin, I know I can have Bitcoin, I touched money. It didn't matter how much I touched the money. I would get paid. I would physically touch money. So I have to get off of this pattern of spend, and go Bitcoin. Because you touch, like I tell people, you touch money. It's not enough. Who cares? It's called compounded interest. You're not doing anything else with it anyway. Like, really, you're not. Even if you pay your bills, you're still not. You're not doing much with it as you think anyway. So, like, when it comes to, you know, the Black wealth number, like they said in 2053, they have zero. They said that there's opportunity for zero Black wealth on the books. I said, well, hell, if it's all in Bitcoin, it should say zero. But honestly, man, there's a lot of things that have to take place, man. And I had to become comfortable with the fact that not all Black people would buy Bitcoin or experience this type of lifestyle based upon choices, based upon buying into the wrong program that they tell themselves, not me. You know what I mean? Not necessarily thinking long term. Like, And I think that's a real thing. Like when I had my daughter, I started thinking like, all right, generation, I need her to be all right. But it wasn't until I had a conversation with a white woman and she said, I'm down. She said, I'm so flat broke. I said, what do you mean? I'm down to my last $40,000. Once I started having these conversations outside my community, it opened my eyes. I'm like, wow, she says she's broke. She has 40 G's. You feel me? Like, that's different. Okay. I was learning something. And then I had a conversation with a woman who was, her husband was big at, he was big at some life insurance company. He died. But she said, yeah, we're set up real nice that I don't have to work. I said, okay. She said, but I'm afraid that my son will squander away our wealth. And I started, it was another mind-blowing moment. I was like, wow. So usually when people would say wealth, they would only think, well, I get to pass down to my child. But these people are already thinking two generations down the line. So when I started really taking Bitcoin serious, that's how I started looking at it. Like, we have a family heirloom on accident, a cast iron skillet, has fed like five generations. That's why I want to do it private keys. You know, like I had to become comfortable. You have to become comfortable with the fact that you will never see the highest highs of Bitcoin. You'll never, this Bitcoin you have, like, yeah, I know people are going, they're going to cycle it through the Bitcoin community, which is cool. You know, you can't really hodl forever as much as we hope we can.
Right.
You can't, but what you do, what ends up happening is, like, because I said, well, damn, I'm going to use Bitcoin. I'm going to be that picture up in the family mansion that says, great, 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 granddaddy Justin bought Bitcoin in 2016. We don't want to mess up his Bitcoin. You know what I mean? By then, they'll be using millisats or some shit, but, you know, that's the mentality that I had. So once you really look at it like that, when you think about breaking the curse, because that's all it is, bad habits are curses. And continuously falling flat on your face with money is not one that I kept seeing my family go down.
Right. Well, man, I'd love to hear, I mean, I agree with everything you said, and I'm just kind of taken back by it, but I'd love to hear about your experience with Bitcoin Black Billionaires on Clubhouse. What you think of the platform. And when I say the platform there, I just mean like the medium, but like your experience, like literally on Clubhouse with this group and this club and just the platform itself, like the medium.
Okay. Well, let's start with Clubhouse. Clubhouse, I think they did a great job capturing a certain market first, Apple users. I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn, but it feels like all the famous or high level people have iPhones. And I remember hearing things about Steve Jobs and the type of community and customer he wanted, or he attracted, and both. And so these little things started playing out like, well, damn, they first released the Apple. Why? I don't really see too many high-level famous people with Androids. Shocking. I hope an Android user don't get mad, but I don't know, man. Just it's in the numbers. I'm not even being the Android Apple guy, because I really, Clubhouse made me get an iPhone. All right. Clubhouse made me get an iPhone. I remember I was first on Twitter and I saw Isaiah Jackson and Lamar talking about like, yeah, we're starting to Black Bitcoin Billionaires, blah, blah, this. I retweeted. I said, I'm on my way over there. And then people just start saying, man, you're not on Clubhouse. You're not on Clubhouse. I said, I'm on the way. December 31st, December 30th, 2020, I got my iPhone. The next day, I was on Clubhouse. Lamar said, matter of fact, I didn't even go to a Bitcoin room at first. I got invited to an options trading room by this woman by the name of Elena. She goes by Options Bay. And she invited me to Clubhouse. And when I got on there, I was in a stock options trading room talking about Bitcoin. Lamar said, man, Justin, we're going to have a party for you, Black Bitcoin Billionaires, man. Come on, man. Stop playing games. I'm like, all right. So I had gone over there, and it was a real great feeling. in the very beginning, it was like, you know, you were dealing with a lot of newbies. Like you saw, you really got to see how when they say these numbers that Bitcoiners are like, you know, you're the first 1 to 2% of people in the world. You really see that on Clubhouse. You hear like, wow, y'all ask this question? Like it's 2021. What the hell? What wallet? Like, what are you, what's the problem? Like, what the hell do you mean? You really start realizing how in the future you really were. So with Black Bitcoin Billionaires, you know, we were dealing with a lot of FUD at first, you know, people coming on, talking some stuff like they know things. But after that faded out, man, you start realizing you have people here who really want to learn something. They're willing to take it to the next level. And Miss Naja Roberts, she just recently started this tour called the Black Wall Street Tour. Her and Hill Harper are coming out with their app called the Black Wall Street app. And she's starting in California and she's been going all around the world all around America in the RV. And when she came to Charlotte, I was just like, wow, this is real. And it was real the whole time on Clubhouse, but it's like, damn, this is what we've been doing this whole time, interacting online behind avatars. You know, so people come in there, they've learned a lot. I mean, it's been people I've been like, yeah, how'd you find my page? Black Bitcoin Billionaires. Like, what the fuck? Okay, that's good. Yeah, I've been buying Bitcoins. I listen to them every day. I'm like, that's amazing. Because it wasn't this type of nothing. Even for white, it wasn't nothing like this, you know, 2019. It wasn't nothing like this. It wasn't this. Now it's really easy, you know, for everybody around the world, you know, not just in Black Bitcoin Billionaires, but especially just anywhere, you know. But with Black people and Black Bitcoin Billionaires, it's like they're erasing. We just passed 100,000 members or followers. I forgot which one it is. But it's like you are waking people up in ways that have never happened. Even with Isaiah in the book, Black Bitcoin and Black America, you know, it was just all like a specific line of time. And with Lamar, when he moderates it, you know, he gives you the answers that are so legit that you don't really have to second guess them. I mean, you're still going to verify them, but, you know, it's good to have, you know, folks actually put you in the correct direction in a language you know how to, in the language that people can understand. Because a lot of times, a lot of folks, they don't really know how to talk. They don't know how to talk to anybody, but they don't know how to talk to Black folks, especially. So that becomes a barrier that turns people off. It has them buying Doge and shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's really doing folks great justice. And I'm glad it started. I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm glad that it is really changing folks' lives for the better.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said there. Do you think the world makes sense right now?
The world's never made sense.
Fair world, enough.
As long as you have humans, as long as you have people who think people aren't worth being treated like humans, it'll never make sense. And I mean, I've gotten pretty comfortable with the fact that the world won't make sense. I've gotten comfortable with the fact that you won't have world peace. Reason being because everybody believes they're correct. I did this combination. I was invited to this Twitter group. I forgot my man's name. He's on Twitter though, but it was a Telegram group. And it was like, drop your favorite movie scene that represents Bitcoin. So I would put Bane in there. I would put the Joker. And folks were like, man, you know, that makes Bitcoin look evil. I'm like, well, in the eyes of some people, they see Bitcoin as evil. Like if you look at Batman, the movie, everybody thought they were doing the best thing they could. The Joker, the Batman, the police department. And the same token, everybody thought everybody was corrupt. Somebody wanted Batman out the way. Batman wanted to get the mob up out of the police force. The Joker thought everybody was, I mean, so like it's all based upon perception, you know? So when it came down to it, it was like the world's always going to be crazy because everybody thinks they're right. You know, you had people create a whole religion off of war. So, I mean, these things have happened throughout our time. and I'm not, and I'm speaking of damn near all religions went through war, but you're here for love. So, I mean, think about it. In their minds, we're doing the right thing. That's how I look at the world. You know, everybody, they have their, even when it comes down to crazy ass, you know, and here's, you know, what's so funny, said in prison, we never talked about the three following things. Well, we did talk sports, but not too much. Sports was number one, but the last two was politics and religion. Who you pray to does not matter to me. Who you voted for in the booth does not matter to me. Are you disrespectful? You know what I mean? But that's how I look at life, man. I'm not really here for all your opinions.
Right.
Like, what's the facts? Because the world, when the world runs off more opinions than facts, it will continuously be crazy as hell.
Yeah. Wow, word. I want to hear, like, what you think about instincts, because you kind of had remarkable instincts when you came across Bitcoin. When you kind of thought through, like, oh, a lot of people telling you, like, oh, you don't need to get involved with that. Oh, it needs to be worked on, or things of that nature. And maybe, I don't know if instincts are still a major part of your life right now, but maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Instincts is what a lot of people use to survive on. But I'm going to take it to a Black thing. Black men use it a lot. You know, we got to read environments differently. You know, like, if I think somebody's about to start fighting or start shooting, I'll leave 30 minutes before it happens. So when it came to Bitcoin, I remember reading texts and stuff, and it was funny how Satoshi looked like some type of prophet. He disappeared. No one, as highly technical as we are, can seem to find him. That right there represented some type of prophecy to me. And like I said, I don't get religious, but if you've ever studied religion or know something, and you know that everyone had this person come. This is the first time in my life that I realized that everyone could benefit. Not just one group of people, not just one thought pattern. Everybody. That's how I look at it. Like, eventually everybody will, oh, wow, yeah. You have children who are now going to grow up and know nothing. They only know a world of Bitcoin. Those are the people who are going, oh, yeah, no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Like, it was meant for today's person, but it's not really meant for today. Like, we're still early. Like I said, my friend Tomer, he said, yo, in 2021, in 119 years, we'll still be early. Because now we got to see what Bitcoin looks like when there's no more mind. Like, when you compare it to the internet, that monitor in the back, at least 15 years ago, you would have had to have a cable cord or a phone cord going to the CPU to get on the internet.
Right.
People don't realize when they're a part of innovation. They just blankly, and that's what I knew. I knew that I was taught never follow the crowd. Okay, so 85% of y'all still think this don't work. You're smart, you have money, you're on the path to money, but you don't think this will work. But the smart money, billionaire money in 2016 is here. Richard Branson, Cuban, Winklevoss twins. But Mark Zuckerberg didn't talk about it. That don't mean he ain't have it. I looked at who did not come out publicly about Bitcoin. So two things happened. Either they had it and were saying nothing, or they knew nothing about it. Or they knew something about it but didn't believe it. Any way you looked at it, it was a small percentage of people. So I knew that I don't really know. Like you said, it's instincts. I just knew not to follow the crowd. Everybody was saying the same thing. Language. If everybody is speaking the same language about something, who's not speaking about it? You know, I've always been the guy to be the outcast. So another thing was like, well, it's still being worked on. Like, yeah, but what the hell does that mean? What is not being, nothing is perfect. Nothing, even the first iPhone came out and now they got a 12-1. Nothing is perfect. Nothing stays the same. So I knew that not to deal with a mindset that thought things should stay the damn same. Then I looked at, well, you know, the economy is great. How is attached to the dollar? But that doesn't mean nothing. So the reality of the situations is my instincts for Bitcoin work because I experienced damn near everything Bitcoin was supposed to take away. Foreclosure, 16 years old, 17 years old, you and your mom got to move. Going to prison, no freedom. Having a job, odd ass jobs, and you always get hit with some type of financial turmoil. Like, yo, when I realized that a woman says she's broke because she has $40,000 to her name and I used to hit negative in my account religiously, I knew there was another side of life. So I don't even know if I correctly answered it, but it just, everything just stood out. Like, this is a good, like, it was, like I said, it was consistent. Nobody could manipulate. There was no person in the way. You couldn't stop me from having. Like, in prison, I used to do something like, I used to be the canteen man, so I used to loan out snacks. You couldn't keep a lot of snacks in your locker, otherwise they would take it. They would just take you back down to the bare minimum. So I compared that to the Federal Reserve. If you got $1 million and this is like, you know, insured, you'll only be, I don't know if it's 100% sure, but you'll only be able to keep like, what, $25,000? So that's all they can insure you is $25,000. That was trash to me. I worked hard for all this shit, but now what? This is all I can get? So everything about Bitcoin has stood out. It wasn't even about the money because, again, I didn't really know much about money. I just knew about principles and how it could affect people. And when I was reading about, you know, folks in Venezuela is mining Bitcoin, I would read articles about Bitcoin all over the world, not just here in America, because a lot of times nowadays people think, oh, Elon affected the price. How do y'all know that? A Saudi Arabian prince could have had $1 billion in Bitcoin, just took it out. And you don't know nothing about it. He's probably one of those whales you read about. Oh, we saw a transaction of $1 billion go through Bitcoin. When $200 billion gets wiped off of Bitcoin, that didn't happen because of Elon. He doesn't even have that much money in Bitcoin to do that. You know what I mean? Like, and I respect him, but yo, we give him so much. Like, yo, he's only like, what they say, oh, well, he's up $100 million. I mean, that's like, what, 10%? 30%? I don't know. Like, we don't brag about that here. So he doesn't hold enough to influence the market like that. So it's a global thing. I just looked at it globally. I looked at how it was affecting everyone. And then I watched some of the richest people in the world, the wealthiest people in the world talk highly about it. All the way down, everybody said the same damn thing. Well, if I'm a billionaire, I ain't gonna really talk about Bitcoin bringing wealth to me, but the consistency in everyone's message. Most wealthy people don't like the government all in their pockets. Poor as hell people don't like the government in their pockets neither. All right. So where was the synergy between everyone here? Of course, there's different levels of money. Of course, you could have sold your company for millions of dollars and said, hell, I'm gonna try out Bitcoin. Or, you know, you could be the person whose 80% of your money, like me, goes into Bitcoin. I can't play the 1%. I can't play the 1% game of my money going to Bitcoin and think I'm going to prosper. I'm in a different category. So I got to play down there the 70 to 80% game to start leveling that up a bit differently. You know, and when I experienced my first 10X, that's the only way I think now is in 10Xs and above. When I experienced my first 100X, it was like, oh, wow, damn, okay. You know, so it's just how you start adding your creativity to Bitcoin. And there are no barriers, even people who think there are now. I don't think we can do that, man. I don't really believe you know what the hell we can do with this thing. So it's I just feel like it was the greatest thing invented and it's going to work just because of that. I don't have any technical reason to give you. Only the fact that it can improve the lives of everyone on the planet at the same damn time is what gives me the conviction I have. That's all I need. Yeah. The fact that everybody can benefit if they so choose. There's no privilege here. You can put all your money in Bitcoin and lose it all. You can buy some bullshit. You can lose it and Bitcoin will continuously go and not care nothing about it. There's no one here to save you. Hold your head. That's where I found, that's where I really saw that this was, that's where those instincts kicked in and be like, all right, I can do this.
Yeah. Terms of the world doesn't make sense. What do you think's coming over the next 10 or 20 years in broad strokes? Like, or, you know, what advice would you give to the outcasts right now?
Keep going. Keep mine Bitcoin. Keep going. You'll soon be where you're supposed to be. Because think about it, some of the smartest people in the world are outcasts. If you're a top 1% of anything, 99% of the people don't think you know what the hell you're talking about, problem, or they can't reach that level. You're supposed to be there. Like how people are even clamoring over what Elon is doing. Like, who gives a shit? That's what folks do when they can do it. It's not affecting much on my end. And like within the next few years, I mean, like really, someone asked me where I saw myself in 5 to 10 years. I know that's not the question you asked, but this is how I answered it. I see me being a real global citizen. Let's just sit here and say 5 to 10 years from now. Helen, five years ago, PayPal blocked Bitcoin. They accepted it. So 5 years from now, I'm pretty sure any company that Elon has will be accepting Bitcoin. You'll have more electronic cars out here, more people going to space for nothing. I actually see the cost of things going down the more you take out human involvement. People think I'm crazy. I don't think humans should be driving cars. You can't stop nobody from texting on their phone. You can't stop nobody from damn daydreaming. You can't stop somebody from drinking or wanting to race. Like, I personally don't really see, I see a lot of disruption. I see a lot of disruption. I don't think Bitcoin is done. Lightning Network would be reign supreme. I remember Lamar interviewed Jamal James and he said, you know, people might not like Lightning, but 10 years from now, Lightning is just going to be what we call Bitcoin. So I see the world in a more of a futuristic way than other people. Like, I've read books by Peter Diamandis. Peter Diamandis and Stephen Kotler, The Future is Faster Than You Think. I read a book by Naveen Jain called Moonshots. And I'm really into that stuff. So I really see people solving problems that the governments won't solve. I see costs of things going down tremendously because you will then implement technologies. So what will happen? The price of things will go down. You hold Satoshis or Bitcoin. Your Bitcoin rises while the price goes down in fiat. Plus you have Satoshis now that you can use. I see the world being wide open for people. Especially if you hold Bitcoin now. Let's look at it like this. If Elon does invent this rocket ship plane, or somebody does, it might not be him, that could take you from New York to Shanghai in 35 minutes, I know y'all gonna accept Bitcoin for it, so I know I can get on there. If I never had Bitcoin, then it would have been like, oh, how am I gonna do it? I don't make enough money. Nah, you invest it into the future. Like, nobody's really looking at the future and how Bitcoin will be there. Like, no one really, I ain't gonna say no one, but it's not a lot of people who look, they don't really know what the future can look like now. Oh man, COVID then came in and they got all these robots here. Like, bro, yeah, like, this was going to happen. Science fiction is becoming reality. You know, so I'm not gonna sit here and say the world is gonna be all rosy and gold, because it's not. But I don't see things being as I want to say it, stagnant in development as they are. Like, as far as we've come, we really haven't done much. You know, we really haven't done too much, even though we've done a lot. We haven't cured a lot of the world's problems. We haven't.
Yeah.
we still operate like there's a limited amount of resources when there isn't. It's just not true. It's just the world, the things that we have in this world don't fit this century. So eventually, as we just blend on over, you know, things will just start working. You'll see things just doing things in a different way. And as I said, here's something to think about. When Bitcoin turns 18 years old, children who were born in 2009, that'll be 2027. In 3 more years, matter of fact, give it 3 to 5 more years, when these people are 18 to 24, or even give them the solid adult years, give them when they're 30. Watch what Bitcoin look like then. You know what I'm saying? The children who were born Bitcoiners. Watch what the world looks like then. They're not going to be going for none of this shit. They're not going to be going with none of the timidness. Their life will be centered around cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. You know, so it will not, I don't really see it lasting too long. You can't live forever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Fear can't live. Fear of one generation can't live forever. You know, think about it like this, Cedric. The generations who had gone from stone tablets to paper thought paper was going to be terrible. When they had gone from paper to digital. Oh, no. Think about everything. Your alarm clock, your CD player, your MP3, your camera. All that's in one device now. People thought that was going to be terrible. It's just the plight of innovation and disruption. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's just going to be a part of everybody's regular life, and they're going to go on about it like they've been knowing about this forever.
Yeah. Man, I'm blown away. I love the way you think. My final question for you is, you know, what is the role of passion and love in our lives? And do you have any words of advice on that?
If you are going to be passionate about what you want to do and you love it, you have to be prepared to make sacrifices. I remember when Kobe Bryant said, you know, I would watch guys go on team trips with some of the players. He said, I never did that. He said, I was always in the gym. I was always working on my game. He said, hey, bro, I probably didn't get a lot of time with my family, but they knew what it was. That's the mentality right there. Like, Mamba mentality is serious.
Mm-hmm.
I cried for 2 weeks when Kobe died.
Yeah, man, I love Kobe.
Mamba mentality is serious. But that's what passion looks like to me. You know, did he do it for out? He did it for the love of what he wanted to do, the love of his family, the love of the game, the love of whatever he was doing. Kobe was dedicated to being the best. You retire and win an Oscar? Come on, man. Like, damn. So with passion and love, you're never doing something you don't want to do. You can go through a bear market and still think it's the greatest thing in the world. It's the fuel, man. Like, above everything, it's the fuel. And when you don't have that, you're just chasing money, altcoins and shit. You know, but if you don't have passion, you don't have any direction. If you don't have passion, I'm guaranteeing you don't have a long-term thinking game plan. If you don't think long-term, your short-term decisions will be fucked. So those are the type of things I feel passion does for.
Yeah.
Because you just start thinking longer and you start valuing what's important, health and time. Because with Bitcoin, if anything, money is always there. And the mindset is definitely that. If you don't cultivate it in the correct way, you don't really care about what you're doing. You know, if you're timid about going to the next level, which could be a bigger room of professionals and guys who can eat your head off with some shit, you don't really want it. You know what I mean? If you're not willing to step up to the plate about whatever it is, you don't really want it. You gotta be willing to step up to the plate, man. That's how I view passion.
Yeah, man. That was, yeah. I just want to leave it to you for any parting words, and definitely let everyone know where they could find you in all the spots they could find you. Like I said, I think that, you know, You're not going to be secret for long. I just love hearing the way you think and talk about things. So definitely, you know, floor is yours.
So for everybody out there, you know, just don't give up, man. Hell, no one ever told you it's going to be easy. I don't know what fairy tale you fell for. It's simple, but it's not easy. You can find me on my website, www.bitcoinvegan.com. If you have me listen to this and you want to, you know, book me for any speaking engagements, whatnot, please do so. I'm there. I do. If you have any brand new newbies, which I doubt Cedric has, you can check out my my website with my course information or one-on-one type style training. But follow me on Instagram, Bitcoin Vegan. On Twitter, Bitcoin_vegan. And please send me Bitcoin Matrix so you get the free chapter of my book, which we'll be releasing very soon. And everybody who purchased the pre-sale will receive a hand autographed copy and probably a paper wallet. I don't know. Who knows? Might throw some gifts in there. But for everyone listening, that's who I am. And again, I want to say thank you, Cedric. Thank you for making this happen. And I appreciate it every bit, man.
Thanks, Justin. It's been so dope. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this. Peace.
Thank you. Peace.
Justin Redrick on stepping up to the plate, leveling up, no excuses, and staying the course right here on the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. And thank you for listening. If you dig the chats, please subscribe, drop a 5-star review, and share a link to the pod with your friends and family. That's the best way to spread the word so I can keep grinding out thought-provoking conversations about Bitcoin. Keep learning and keep stacking. This is Cedric. Peace.